Hello, and I'm joined here today in the studio with Ruth Lehan from Yana and Vicky McGee. And we're going to be chatting about the Sisterhood Calf and a little bit about Yana as well. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks very much for having us.
So if we'd like to chat about the Sisterhood Calf first.
Yep. So I suppose Sisterhood Cafe came about as a kind of a way to promote, I suppose, that there is a service in Yall, firstly for domestic violence. But the idea of Sisterhood Cafe might also be there for other events like that, from a feminist kind of standpoint, really supporting women or women supporting each other. But this is the first real event. The motivation for this was, I suppose for me personally, it was after Tina Satchwell's remains were found in Yall. As a lot of people were upset, I just thought, still feel that there's a lot of silence around domestic violence. And as we know from research, most people that die in their homes, it wasn't the first attack, you know, it is tied to domestic violence, you know, so femicide and domestic violence are connected. And again, the stigma and silence around that and the difficulty for victims or survivors talking about it. So it was, for me, it was that upset around her and that whole issue in general that affects so many women, that just spurred me on to contact Yana, and then on having meetings in Yana with actually Jennifer initially, and then Ruth, we were just talking about it would be great to promote it. Now, I had only heard 3 weeks before that Yana was a service in Yall. Actually, it was here. I heard it on the radio. And I remember at the time thinking, God, that's great. I didn't know that was there. And you can just go in and have a chat. Like, that's an amazing service to have in the town. And I thought, it seemed to me the obvious way to try and mark the two things and bring them together. So that's kind of what it came about. Now I can go back, talk about the day more if you want, or we can.
Yep.
Yeah. So I am talking to the women I knew in Yall. We found a location, and Cumna Dhéanamh were very great. And Hayley and Gráinne there helped with that. So we have the location for the day, and we have the cafe are letting us use our facilities, and we've had brilliant sponsorship from the town for gifts and raffles. So we've loads of prizes for a raffle. We're hoping to get a couple of musicians, singers coming down. We have a couple of names so far, and loads of nice food, drinks, everything. And then a couple of people from Yana will be there to introduce themselves and just have a chat. So it's a fundraiser, but it's an awareness exercise in the community just to promote it and raise a few bob as well for it, really.
So you're raising funds for Yana.
Yeah.
And the money will go to the local Yana group as well, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see this as a one-off event, or do you think you'll have more of them?
Personally, I think even with the Yana element, I'd like to see that reach young people more as well. Mm-hmm. So apart from just having a coffee morning in Cumna Dhéanamh, that the target for that group doesn't tend to be younger women, you know, very young. And I just think by the time you're a victim to domestic violence or sexual violence, it's probably already happened. You've probably already got used to a few things, and it's so culturally acceptable even now, that I would love to see it rolled out more in different organisations in Yall, that we could go and do something and bring it everywhere and get everyone talking about it. And again, knowing that they can just go and have a chat. It doesn't mean that they're going to the guard shed if they don't. It doesn't mean anything, that it's actually just a chat at first. And I think just that idea of the community supporting women and women supporting each other. And so, yeah, I think it needs to go further than this. So, yeah, hopefully it will.
So the coffee morning is a platform to do that and a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who is interested, it's on Saturday, April the 27th, between 11 and 2 at Cumna Dhéanamh. And, of course, you're raising funds as well for a very worthy cause.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth, would you like to tell us a bit about Yana?
Yeah, so Yana we're a domestic violence service. We've been based in Yall only since 2020, so it's relatively new service. Yana stands for You Are Not Alone. I think because, like Vicky has said, that there's still a lot of silence around domestic violence, and it's one of the things that we're trying to break. I think everybody who hears this, they will have either been a victim of some kind of domestic or sexual abuse, or they will know somebody who's been a victim of domestic or sexual abuse. What that means as well is we know perpetrators. Perpetrators are not scary men hiding in alleyways and balaclavas. You know, they're the men that we walk past on the street day in, day out. They're dads dropping off kids at school. They're in all sections of our society. So what we're trying to do is work with women, and we've recently started working with children as well who are or have been victims of domestic abuse. Within that, I'll kind of talk about them separately because the work we do with children is different to how we work with women. One of the main things we always want women to know is domestic abuse is not just about physical abuse. The majority of our clients that access the service have never experienced physical abuse, or they may have experienced one or two incidents. What we're dealing with primarily is coercive control, which is a criminal offence. It's been a criminal offence since 2019, but it's people hear coercive control, but they might not always actually know what that is and what that looks like. So we deal with a lot of coercive control, gaslighting, emotional abuse. Financial abuse is actually something we deal with rather a lot, and also sexual assaults and sexual abuse. We want women to access our service, even if they're not 100% sure what it is they're experiencing at home. It can be with a partner, a husband, an ex-partner, because we deal with post-separation abuse a lot, especially when children are involved. So if somebody has concerns about how they feel in their relationship, I think that the best thing to do is to contact our service. Our office is based in Youghal, but we do cover all of East Cork. So we can do outreach. We meet clients in Carrigtwohill, Middleton, Cove. So we will do what we need to do to get to women. The only thing we don't do is meet women in their homes. A lot of our clients do access the service and say, I'm not sure that this is domestic abuse, but I'd like to have a chat. And in that chat, it's a free service, so they don't have to pay to meet with somebody. We'll talk them through what they're experiencing. We'll give them different options. There's never any onus from us about what a woman should or shouldn't do. It's always about them making their own decisions. Our service is confidential, so I think women need to feel comfortable that when they contact us, they're coming into a confidential service where they can tell us what they've been experiencing and what their children have been experiencing. So quite often, if somebody feels uncomfortable in a relationship, if they're being told they're oversensitive, they're crazy, they're remembering things incorrectly, if they're being questioned about how long it takes them to go to the shops, who do they meet when they're out, who are they talking to at work today, that consistent questioning, that forms the pattern of coercive control, because a partner doesn't come in and on day one show all of his red flags. That's not how it works. It builds up over time. And eventually what happens is it becomes easier to do what he wants rather than take on the fight day to day. So we don't normally see people coming in saying, he doesn't let me go out with my friends. He doesn't let me wear this. It's that they've worked out how to keep themselves safe, and it's easier to do what he wants without him having to say it so clearly. That's just a basis around, you know, what coercive control or gaslighting might look like. I know I'm probably doing a lot of talking, and you can take out the bits you don't need. because I would kind of like to discuss about what we do with children as well, if that's okay, because that's very new.
Could I just
say
that when you were here before, we actually spoke about domestic violence, but also the fact that it isn't always a romantic relationship, and
yes,
people can be very, you know, bogged down by even parents, siblings, grandparents. It's not always
absolutely
a male, female thing.
Yeah, and whilst most of what we see is intimate relationships or when partners have split up, we see a lot more nowadays adult child to parent abuse, and what we would say is that that's where the cycle of abuse hasn't been broken. So children become adults who have learned different techniques in order to keep themselves safe when they're children, but actually they become perpetrators themselves as they grow up. So if it's very difficult for mothers to acknowledge that maybe their children are perpetrators of abuse, but it's becoming more and more common. And again, we'd always say, if you're not sure, you don't need to have all the answers. That's what we're here for. So you just contact us. And it might be a one-off conversation. You might get some of the answers you're looking for, but most of what happens in our service is that people will see us regularly. It might be once a week, once a fortnight, whatever relationship you're in, because siblings is another one where that's becoming more and more common. So we're not closing out our service to, you know, it doesn't have to just be intimate relationships. We do only work with women, and previously that would have been women over the age of 18. But now we can work with children from 6 to 17, and that's male and female. There is a service in Cork City if you are a male experiencing any type of abuse, OSS. They that would be the closest service for males to access if they're experiencing any type of abuse. Again, intimate relationships, but outside of that as well.
So, Ruth, do you want to talk a little bit about what you do with children, so
yes,
and how that's different and the support you provide?
Yeah, so that's a new part of our service. So we've only just finished our first year of working with children. I suppose it's something we've been fighting for quite a while, because children are victims of domestic abuse if they live in a family where one of the parents is a perpetrator. They're not a witness to it, they're a victim of it. And in order to break the cycle and to try and allow children the safety to recover from the trauma, we've started running a Healing Together programme. So it's for children aged 6 to 17. It's for males and females. And it's a 6 to 12 week programme, depending on how, I suppose 6 weeks is generally the minimum, but some children need a little bit longer. So we don't have, you know, we don't restrict it if children need a bit more support in that. The only real criteria is that they can no longer be living with the perpetrator. It just isn't a safe environment for them themselves to feel like they can access this support and feel comfortable to discuss their experiences if they're then going home to the perpetrator. But whereas when we work with women, it's very open. There's no set structure. It depends what's happening for a woman that week. Where with children, it's a structured program. So we'll discuss healthy relationships, boundaries, feelings and emotions. And in that it's okay to feel frightened. It's okay to feel angry. It's okay to feel happy. But we do some safety planning with children then as well at their level, because you can't make a safety plan for somebody. They have to be the one to make the safety plan. There's no point us telling them what they should or shouldn't do. They have to be able to tell us what they can do, and we just help them make a plan and put that in place. And within some of that, there's a bit of creativity as well. There's a little bit of art therapy thrown in. There's a bit of, I suppose it really kind of depends on what the children respond to. There can be a bit of like messy play depending on how young the children are. But it's very much their space so that they can have a safe place for themselves to openly discuss how they felt and what they've experienced as well. And it's been really successful so far. And we're hoping to continue that into the future. But I will say, we didn't have funding for that initially. So when we started it, we didn't have a part-time person in place like we do now. We actually had to use donations to try and employ somebody very ad hoc to get this up and running so that we could show the evidence that this was required and why it was required. So the donations actually that we were getting from individuals from different services. That went into putting this evidence in place, so, and it allowed us to work with children, which actually that's what allowed us to have now a part-time person in place, not just for 1 year, but every year afterwards as well.
Okay, so it was a call to a need.
Yes, yeah, that's it.
Because I worked in family services for years myself, and I did family support work, and I remember the HSE cut funds to family support work. I think it was 2017 or 18 when the kind of, or sorry, 2007, what am I saying, 2007. And that's when I went to kind of residential with teenagers, yeah, and stuff. But prior to that, I would have been working with families and children more. But you see the results when you're working with children, you know, that early intervention.
Yeah.
It really, there's a great response from it. Like, they're really, yeah, it's some of the best work. You know, I mean, every work is worthy in that early, yes, area, but it's so great seeing the results when you're working, yeah, with families, either in their homes or with children doing those kind of programmes. It's brilliant. That's great.
Like, it is, because I think we have a little bit of a narrative, not just in Ireland, elsewhere, but, you know, this idea that children are resilient, and they are. But we shouldn't have that expectation that actually they're resilient, so they'll work this out themselves. Like, they're children, we're their advocates. They, if we're not safe, they're not safe. Mm. And like you said, accessing them in the family when they're young, that's what's making the real change. Mm. So that hopefully when they grow up, the likes of, you know, needing a service like Jana, we don't want to be here. But we are, because the need is here. Mm-hmm. And until we start working with children, until we start working in schools, you know, more so, we're not going to be tackling the problem at source. Mm-hmm. We're actually just firefighting after things have happened.
Mm-hmm. Myself and Ruth were talking before we came here, and I was saying, like, I have a 25-year-old son, I have a 15-year-old daughter now, and it's having a 15-year-old daughter and her friends and listening to the chat and the stuff they'd be talking about, things they'd be telling me and things that have happened. It's very scary to see the attitudes. Like, there hasn't been a massive change from when I was younger too. So the cultural thing, you know, a lot of laws have changed. I mean,
yep,
it's 1990, it stopped being legal to rape within the marriage, was legal up to 1990. Yeah. So, I mean, even as those things move on,
yep,
the culture still, and we were talking about that Fix It, you know, the newspaper,
yes,
Fix It Ireland,
Ireland,
where they changed the headlines. Yes. Where it's like a man raped somebody or beat them up because he didn't get something, or didn't. The headline's, yeah, more or less excusing,
yes,
the behaviour, or in the courts they're still excusing the behaviour. So it's, yeah, the cultural awareness, yeah, around it, and working with kids is a great way of doing that, especially if there's people becoming perpetrators when they're older. If you, yeah, can get in, you know, they're maybe not be carrying all that,
yeah,
with them, you know, until they're older. But yeah. It's, yeah, great. It's a great service.
So the service really is vital, and the fundraising, yeah, event is vital,
yes,
to maintain the service that's there. So it's a great project.
Yeah.
And I suppose, yeah, today we're just saying to people, we're encouraging them, first of all, raise awareness for,
yes,
Jana,
yeah,
and that you, through yourselves, Jana, and through Vicky and the Coffee Morning, identifying, you know, the need as well in the town, the services, yeah, available in the town. And it would be great to see people get out there and support this Coffee Morning on, yeah, Saturday, April the 27th, yep, between 11 and 2 at Comina Dina Yall. And the proceeds are going to Jana, which is a very worthwhile cause. Yep. I'd like to thank you both
thank
today
you
for coming
Thanks.
In.
Brilliant.
Very good interview. Thank you.
Thanks very much for having us.